All right. Happy St. Patrick's weekend. Happy end of spring break. Happy my brackets are blown if you're into March Madness. Happy, I don't know. There's lots of things you can be happy about today, but here's what we're going to do. Class is in session. We're going to actually go and attend several classes today, but the first one is basically language arts. So why don't you turn to some folks around you very quickly. No, really, like now, go turn to them because you'll have to talk to them. It'll be awkward if you don't. And some of you are like, that's why I didn't want to sit by mom. So here's the thing, sorry, too late. Would one of you, both of you, whomever, would you please complete this sentence? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but, now turn to each other and finish it. Has anybody got this? Wow, you're the first service that we stumped. Sticks and stones may break my bones altogether now, but will never hurt me. Okay, now turn back to those same people and explain what exactly what that means. No, seriously, do it. All right. All right, okay, I'm gonna be asking the sites for some of their wisdom in a second, those of you watching online, but like here, somebody explain this to me. What does that phrase mean? Anyone? You don't know? Don't worry about what other people say about me, is that what you said? Okay, yeah, what else? Well, yeah, so the struggle there is it's not true. Should we just go ahead and say that out loud? It's just not true, is it? It's a couple of things here. Now, I know we love mom, we love dad, we love our second grade teacher, whoever it is that told you this. But let's just go ahead and call a couple of things out. First of all, sticks and stones, really? Do you grow up around cave people? That's what you're worried about? But words may never, it's not true. I happen to agree with Monty Python's Eric Idle, who says sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can make me go in a corner and cry by myself for hours. Now we're getting there. Now we're getting there because words, I get it. You want to make sure that your kids aren't susceptible to what somebody else says. It's a mean world out there. Just because they called you that name doesn't mean that's who you are. I understand all of that, but words hurt. And I realize some of you are manly men and you're saying, words do not, that's for mere mortals. Words don't hurt me. But those words your dad said when you were 8, they're still there. Those words that your ex said about you, those words that an employer, I mean, you get the idea. Words can break a husband's dreams. Words can break a wife's heart. Words can break a child's spirit. Words can break a 20-something's hope. Because it's like nobody takes them seriously. Words can break a church in two. Words can break a community into little fractured pieces. So words matter. In fact, let's go ahead and write that down. And yes, this will be on the test later. Words matter. A lot. Okay? Now, there are some, you start to look at some of this and you'll see here, let's just do this now. Some of us have been studying the beauty in the book of Proverbs. And there's something really cool in Proverbs that you'll see. In fact, let's just go on ahead and read it together. Words, the tongue, has the power of life and death. And today we'll talk about both. Because we have to be honest with this. It's a package deal. Words have the power of life and death. God says our words have that kind of power. Our words are that big of a deal. Real quickly, those of you who are reading along in small groups with a book that's kind of a companion to this series, there's a part in there that says this is not folk magic. We're not talking about incantations where the eternal sovereign Lord is handcuffed to our words. Simply not true. But our words matter. And the good news is our words have extraordinary power to do good in this world. Like, we've been reimagining what a life infused with God's love and presence would be. We've been thinking about that. And I promise you, everything we say today is connected to that life. It is a new life. Some of you are like, well, what is that life? You can't see it from a distance. You can't watch it from a distance. You can't admire Jesus from a distance. There comes a moment when you personally turn to him. You go on record. You follow him. You accept his love, his offer of grace. It's you. It is the step of your life. And some of you haven't taken that step yet. And my prayer is in the next couple of weeks, maybe even today, you'll take that step. But for some of you, there are steps before that step. You've got questions to ask. You've got answers to get. And so one more time, even though you think we talk about this all the time, this is the vision of our church. We want you to get some of those answers. So for those of you with whom I've had conversations recently, like in the last 2-3 months, like personal conversations at vision dinners, or maybe it's online we've been talking, or it's in person or in the community, and I've said to you, hey, pay attention. When this class spins up, you want in. Here we are, one more time. Explorations starts soon. Don't wait until Easter. Don't wait until other people get a head start on this. I'd be okay right now if you checked out and went online and signed up right now. That'd be okay. You should do that because we want you to experience this. I don't want you to see this from afar. And gang, if you go there, what you'll find, and you get to this place where you have a relationship with God, let me go on ahead and tell you now, it doesn't mean you've arrived. We'll just say this at the beginning. We don't have this all figured out, and we're not doing all of this like perfectly. Are we redeemed? Absolutely. Many of us are. Are we perfect? Hardly. It's why God in his word is so stinking practical, like about our words. He says things that we just can't get away from, things that we're going to look at today that will apply to our lives. So what I'm hoping happens by the end of this is that we will begin to actually rethink our words because they matter. And they matter a lot. And so what will happen now is we'll go over some verses in the New Testament and the Old Testament. We'll kind of talk about them. At some point, one of these things will offend you because some of these verses are offensive. And you'll go, Greg, you went too far. I'm just telling you what the words are. We're just going to go there and see what this is, okay? But together, I think, maybe, we could begin to do things differently. So let me pray for us. And we'll get started. Father, I've been saying this all weekend long, and I will continue to confess this. I need your help in getting better at this. Some of my words praise you. Some of my words honor you. Some of my words I know please you. But God, I also know some of my words, they disappoint you. They probably even anger you. God, forgive me. Help us to now hear your word and get it in so close that you begin to do something to our words. Because you know this better than we do, but we're admitting our world could use a few more good words floating around. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here's how it's gonna work. I remember somebody who was kinda, this is years ago, was coaching me on writing, years ago. And they said something I've never forgotten, and it was this. It's all about the verbs. They said, if you really look at something that is intriguing to you, that draws you in, you can talk about the flowery language all you want, but it's the verbs. It's the verbs. You want, that's where the action is, no pun intended. So what you'll see today are verbs in these verses that will begin to kind of show you some things that you probably won't forget. It's intentional. God is trying to get our attention. So, first one, let me just say this. I believe that words are now the weapon of choice for many people. And somebody's like, oh, what do you mean? I'm not minimizing real violence. Say it again. I'm not minimizing like physical violence. We are against physical violence. God speaks against that. Are we clear? Us doing harm to each other has got to stop. But the vast majority, I hope all of you watching and here would agree, well, I'm not going to be physically violent towards someone. But I'm suggesting to you that our words have now become our weapons of choice. Even we who are Christians. And you're going, well, I think now you're saying too much. Well, how about this? Let's back up. Have you noticed that we humans are not the happiest bunch? Has anybody here noticed that we humans tend to not always get along? Now, I'm glad you're sitting down, and this might be a little bit of a shocker, but the same holds true for Christians. I know, it's a shock, but we disagree sometimes. And we're dissatisfied, we're disgruntled, we're disappointed in each other, yes? Yeah, it's all true. Here's the thing. If I'm like upset about something, I can sometimes trace it back to a legitimate concern. Something bad, something wrong happened, and that's why I'm concerned. Sometimes if I trace it all the way back, it really has more to do with me. It's like an unflattering truth about me, if I'm going to be honest. But most times, as best I can tell, in my life anyway, it's what's wrong with the world tangling with what's wrong in me that keeps us all tied up in knots. See, it's a combination of the two, and we're in knots. And so you're like, okay, all right, but good grief, Pastor. I still don't weaponize my words. You're overstating it. Am I? Look at the first verse. Here it is. This is from Proverbs. Let's throw that Proverbs 12 one up there if we can. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, here is what this is. In the Hebrew, this is violent imagery. There's really, if we're going to understand this, please forgive me, but it is violent imagery. The word here is thrust. The word here is piercing. It's like a stabbing. There are words that we use that leave marks, not little paper cuts, but things that cut all the way through. And if we're really going to tell the truth, there are words that sometimes just cut through a heart, a dream. Am I being too graphic? Or is God trying to get our attention? One more time. We are against physical violence. This should disturb you, even this. Yes? Some of you are like, please don't let this be one of those moments where you come down into the crowd. So we should be disturbed by this, and God wants us to be. Why? Because our words leave marks and sometimes gaping wounds, and people are left bleeding out, and it's got to stop. Here's the next one. If you look at a passage, let's go to the next one in Proverbs. If you look at this next one, what you'll see is that the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Now, you'll notice a lot in the Proverbs, not all of them, but here's a little Hebrew poetry lesson for you. In many of the Proverbs that some of you have been reading, you'll notice an either or. You notice kind of a parallel thing going on there. It's either this or it's this. It's like the writer's trying to tell you, you can go down this path, you can go down that path. For those of you who want a new term to drop on your friends this week, you can talk about it in small groups. In Hebrew poetry, this is called antithetical parallelism. Yeah, baby. It's like there's two opposing things. So it's this or it's this. We're going to continue to talk about the not great side of the coin. So what we see here is this verb that the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Gushes. That's the verb we want to pay attention to. Gushes. What's inferred here is that there's something that is bubbling and brewing and fermenting on the inside. That's what this really means. And you've seen this before where something kind of ferments and it creates bubbles. And if those bubbles get big enough, happens, right? I mean, I'm sure that many, if not most of you, have seen the old Mentos in the Diet Coke bottle experiment, haven't you? Has anybody seen that, you guys at Fenton, Mid Rivers, Grants Trail, online? Anybody here in the hub? How about just raise your hands if you've seen that experiment? Okay, so many of you, most of you, and why not? It's been on YouTube since the late 50s. So, okay. Here we go, it's on this side. I think if we really began to look at how this works, the interesting thing is if you do the research on it, there's a lot of debate now, it's not really a chemical reaction. Interestingly enough, it's more of a physical reaction. It's called nucleation, and it has to do with the surface of the Mentos. Everybody knows what a Mentos is, right? It's the fresh maker. So it's Mentos, and it's got all these layers of on which these little bubbles can like attach, and when it starts to happen, there is this physical reaction. And it's a good picture of what's going on. We should do this, don't you think? Yes, some of you are saying yes, and some of you are going, no. These people right here are going, no. I think we should do this, shouldn't we? Yeah, let's do it. Okay, I'm not doing it. Joey, come out here. So again, these are Mentos that you are just dropping in there all at once. That's why you have the pipes so that, boom, they can all go at once. All right, give it a go. And there it is. Thank you, sir. Some of you right now are saying, man, you shouldn't do something like that in church. That's just silly. With all due respect, you should be more upset with the wicked gushing that happens in our midst more than some dumb Diet Coke thing. But now let's keep learning. Because what happens here is, I think I'm just gonna wear this the rest of the day because I just feel smarter. So what happens here is that it's a kind of fermenting. Now, it's a kind of a that happens. All right, the verb that is translated gush in an older translation, in another part of the Bible, it's the same verb, is translated belch. Now we're getting there. Wicked is belched out into the room. You ever been around somebody who burps and belches like unabashedly, unapologetically, out loud and often? You ever been around someone like that? Joey, come back out here. Can we try that? No. Here's my point. If you're around someone who does that, I can almost guarantee you will put some distance between you and them because it's disgusting. You don't want to be near it. You're like, ugh, please. And you move away. It's the natural reaction. It's the same reaction that some of you were having just a minute ago because you were going, oh, they plan on things. I hope they did the math. I think I'm good. But there is this natural reaction to say, I want to get away from this stuff. Yes? How come we don't have that reaction when somebody begins to gush evil into the room with their words? There are many forms of evil that we can spew into a room, but I will tell you, many of them will oftentimes destroy relationships. They'll destroy community. They'll destroy friendships. People will say truths, half-truths, conspiracy theories, stuff that they don't even really know what's going on, but oh, did you hear about that? And they'll begin to spew this into the room. And if you stay in the room long enough and if you stay close enough to it, that stuff will stick on you. And as long as you are there and it sticks on you, it'll start seeping into your thoughts and your attitudes, and before long, you'll be belching up ugliness. Gang, we can't do that. Not the people of God. We gotta be different. You see this happen all the time. Okay, how about this? What if we're the ones that started everything? What if, God forbid, it's my mouth that is spewing things into the air? I will tell you, if that happens, a little old excuse me may not be enough to clear things. And I sure don't get to act all innocent and surprised, you know, like Uncle Ernie does at the family gatherings when he burps. You know, and he goes, oh, where did that come from? Well, I'll tell you where it came from, Ernie. It came from you and something that was brewing and fermenting inside you and then kaplooey. So I don't get to play all dumb and go, I can't believe I just said that to you. Boy, I don't know what got into me. Well, yes, I do. If I'm going to be honest with me and the God who knows everything that's brewing in me, I do know where that came from. Wicked and evil spews into the air and it leaves a mess. All right, so those are two pretty vivid verbs so far, don't you think? I think we should hit pause and give you a chance to just talk to each other, like about anything that you want regarding what we've heard so far, because we're going to keep going. And so just what do you think so far? Talk to each other. I'm not even going to ask you for responses yet. Just talk to each other. I think we probably ought to just kind of get some of this out of our system a little bit. Go. Is this happening in your world? Do you see this? Are you guilty of this? What's happening? Go. All right, We're gonna let you come back and finish the conversation a little bit later. I will just say this. I know that some of you are struggling with this. I know some of you might be like not wanting to talk about this stuff, and you're still at that place where it's like, they're just words. Sticks and stones might leave bruises, but they're just words. Toughen up, cupcake. But I'm telling you, words matter a lot. Now let's move to the New Testament. In the book of Philippians, Paul is writing to a church that he absolutely adores. He's telling them to follow the example of our humble King. Boy, you should come back next week when we talk about our King. Oh man, you should come back next week. But here's the deal. In the middle of this, he basically says to this church, get your corporate act together. And he drops this little nugget in there. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Wow, really? That's not a high bar at all, is it? Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing. And your first reaction is to go, well, he doesn't live in our world. You'd be surprised how similar those worlds are, with lots of different socioeconomic, lots of different sort of educational levels, lots of different people and folks coming from different ethnicities all kind of blended together. You'd be surprised some of the similarities. Paul is saying something here. So the first thing to do is to go right back to the people you were talking with and just ask one question. Am I a complainer? Go ahead, ask him. Oh, you're afraid to. Go ahead, ask him. Yeah. All right. Okay. Wait. Some of you are complaining because they told you the truth. Some of you are complaining because these interactions are getting too personal. The word there can actually also be translated grumble, like you grumbling. That some of your translations will say that. So maybe I should have said, are you a grumbler? Now, here's the verb. In the Greek, because we're in the New Testament, that's what the New Testament was written in, it's the word gangousmas. Now, some of you have heard this word before. It's a beautifully picturesque word. The root of that word is gangouzo, which traces back to the cooing or the murmuring of doves or pigeons. It's a very picturesque word. And you're going, well, I kind of like the cooing of doves. Well, we'll get to that. But what this means is there is a kind of slow, soft murmur. You're probably not spewing it out into the whole room. You're not telling everybody about it. There's a big conversation going up here with somebody, and you're the one off to the side going, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but this is what's really happening. This is what I heard. This is the conspiracy theory I'm putting together. And you just kind of start. There's a caustic observation. There's a little cynical, but it's a murmur, it's a whisper, it's something that's just a low-level buzz. And it becomes second nature really fast. It's just what some of us do. Now, we're not really gonna talk about the arguing part of this, although let's just say there are some people that arguing becomes their second nature. It's kind of like disputing. Do you know people who just kind of like to correct everyone else? They're just the kind of people who want to argue with something, maybe just to, you know, I'm just trying to help. This is just constructive criticism, but here are the 15 and a half things that you're doing wrong right now. From the way you comb your hair, to mow your lawn, to dress, to raise your kids, the music you listen to, there are people that will do this, and for them, it is sport. It is their hobby. But what happens here is these are their habits. You see, if somebody begins to complain to the point where they do it all the time, it's now a part of them and it defines them. Like every grid, this is what they think through. Watch this. If someone allows this to become who they are, they won't just complain about the one thing they started with or that one little deal at work or that one thing at church or that one thing going on in politics or entertainment. They will now complain about everything. You can't help it. It's just what you do. And the people around you don't, they probably never told you that, but it's like, yeah, it's like everything is. Now, am I telling you that you can't express an opinion around here? No, when the Bible talks about us living together in peace, it does not mean that we're all going to be bestest buddies and BFFs, okay? It never says that. So just get over that expectation. It doesn't happen, all right? That's why the Bible tells us all the time about how to speak truth and love and how to work through these bumps, because we will have those bumps. The thing here is not for us to conform to kind of a cultish, everybody get in line and we're all gonna do it the same way. I have heard those sermons. people will abuse certain passages and say, you don't get to complain about it. Now listen, we're gonna have different opinions about how to get to certain things. We're gonna have different perspectives. That's the beauty of a church like ours. But gang, there's a different way for us to do it. In Acts chapter 6, they did complain. Good for them, they got some stuff done, but it didn't become a habit. See, there's a danger lurking here. If all you do is complain, I mean, if that's all you do, then it won't take long before your habit gets connected to somebody else's habit. It's just how evil works. So like, it's what I do. And then somewhere along the way, I found out you kind of like to play that game too. And it's like, whoa, wait, we can compare notes. And we can build this thing together, this theory, and we wrap it in Christianese and we feel all the, you see what happens there? It's an ugly, ugly thing. And there's a rush of wicked pleasure when I start to do this and somebody else goes, yeah, I was always wondering about that. Well, let's talk. Gang, this is a hard habit to kick. And the mess that I'm talking about isn't just the messes that we leave like in rooms and on houses. Please don't make me draw you a picture of the messes that a bunch of gongoose-mossing birds leave behind, okay? This is not art class, this is biology. What we're talking about here is that you and I leave messes, but we don't just leave them in the rooms, we don't just leave them on our teams, we leave them in our hearts. Because what happens is I start to dig into a position because of my words. And the more I talk to you about this, the more solidified my feelings get. And I don't want to be wrong now because I've actually gone on record with two or three of these other guys that I'm murmuring to. And I just want to be right. So there's simply no way I'm ever going to forgive or let you back in. I'm just going to retaliate because I've now built this thing up. Do you see the power of your words? And just so we're clear, everyone has done this. And it's got to stop. The key to Christian community is what we do when we bump, not if we bump. It's gonna happen. But how do we use our words? Now, how about if we flipped to the positive side of this? Some of you are saying, yes, please, I'm depressed. You have the power of life and death, life and death. Everyone remember? Antithetical parallelism, all right? That's your thing today. So here's the, what if you talked to each other now about words that someone spoke to you? That brought healing, that brought hope, that brought life. Because I promise you, someone near you has a great story of, yes, somebody in a tough part of my life just said these words and they changed things. It's what was dying came back to life. That's the power of words. So I'd love for you to talk to each other, but I have to tell you, we're going to give you a treat at the end of class today. Not like Ritz crackers and Kool-Aid, because this isn't kindergarten, but we are going to give you a treat. And the treat is this. Right now, backstage, our musicians are kind of looking at this. They've planned, they've kind of charted some things out, but you're actually going to help Kenny and Aaron write the last song. You're gonna help write the co-lyrics now. And by that, what I need is, what are some of the great moments where somebody spoke life, spoke healing, spoke hope into you? And we're gonna give it to them. Each of these songs has been different, all of our services, okay? So talk to each other. Great examples of people speaking into your life when somebody did that. Sites online, you know how to reach us. I'll talk to you guys in just a minute. Go ahead, talk, share, do it. All right, okay. I'm gonna ask you guys here, we're gonna get some stuff. You guys getting anything from up, what do you got, Dale?
Mid Rivers, my husband told me I was beautiful.
So my husband told me I was beautiful. Somebody at Mid Rivers said that. And there is something, we have to let those words land in our hearts.
That's right.
But they have to be spoken first.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. All right, you guys interrupt whenever you, you got something?
Yeah, from online, this too shall pass.
Oh, yeah. You ever had somebody tell you that? You're going through a tough time? I kind of kid about that with young parents who have that look on their face, and I come alongside and go, this too shall pass. But it is. There are these seasons that we go through, and somebody who's maybe a little bit further along reminds you, there's more. How about here? Anybody got anything like really like strong words? Yep, right back here. Say it a little bit louder. I want to make sure I get it right. Oh, wow. We will love you until you can love yourself. So there's a couple of things in there. One, we're gonna love you. We're taking the long play on this. And two, we'll be patient. until some things happen in your heart where you can understand how beloved you are by God. That's the long play. That's somebody saying, I'm with you for a long time. Yeah? Yeah. All right, what else? Yes. Okay, so there's this anxiety that happens in a huge transition after divorce, and somebody's kind of reframing that and saying, watch what this energy does. It's not nervous energy. You're getting ready to take flight. That's cool. Yes?
God's not done.
God's not done, is he? We're trusting that, aren't we? Yeah, we are. You go through something in your life, and you're like, wait, God, are you there? Yes. Could you please show up a little bit earlier? But God's not done. He's not finished with you. Yep, I'm hearing something back here.
Grant's trail. Everyone makes mistakes. It's going to be okay.
Okay. So there's a grace thing in there of, yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Beautiful. Yo, here we go. Yeah. You're not too messed up. Yeah, okay. You're not too messed up. You know what somebody else was saying in a previous service was, you're not crazy for caring about this, for doing this, for being passionate about this. So many different things that we could talk about here, and it's all, you know what you're doing? You are exhibiting what Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. This is what he says, our next big verb. Therefore, encourage, that's the verb, one another, and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. That word encourage means actually to call alongside, to come alongside someone so that you can actually speak these strong words into them. Not going to get into a big word study here. But if you look at this in the Greek, that's what the New Testament is written in, you will see that this verb is it's the same word family that is used to describe the Holy Spirit, parakaleo. This is what God does. He gets you in close so that he can whisper strong words to you. Gang, this is what we now do for each other. You want to be godly this week? Champion someone. Forgive someone. Say the words that you've heard here. Hey, you're not done. Hey, I've been there. Hey, I'm going to take the long view with you. You do that and something is happening. You're like, I don't know how to, where do I start? How about this? I'm going to give you something very practical. Next big verb. Here it is. Let's learn from Jesus' little brother. So show the James one there. Yeah, technically half-brother. But James writes this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. John Ortberg talks about this being a dance. And he says there's one quick and two slows. That's the step, right? There's one quick and then there's two slows. But let me tell you, this dance step, if you miss the first step, you will never find the rhythm. If you trip on this first one, you will never find wise, healing, powerful, life-giving words. What am I saying to you? You've got to pay attention to the listening. It's a dance that plays out in my life all the time. It's a dance I have to relearn all the time, like Friday night with my wife, knowing I was going to teach on this. I was trying to get through the week clean, you know, don't screw this one up this week. And then Friday night, I tripped on this one. I wasn't listening well. Now, granted, she was, no, I'm not going to tell you that part of it. My point to you is this. If you trip on this one, you will not get the rest of it. Josh McDowell and Dick Day wrote a book about kids. They were interviewing kids, and one of them came up to him and said, you know what I am? I'm a comma. And they were like, okay, we'll bite. What do you mean? He said, well, whenever I talk to my dad, he stops talking, and it's like he makes a comma. But when I'm finished, he starts right up again as if I hadn't said a thing. I'm just a comma in the middle of his speeches. There are times in our lives as parents where we will treat our kids as interruptions to a very busy day, an agenda, something that has to happen. And we do not notice the gift of God in front of us. But it's not just parents. We treat our friends this way. We treat people here this way. We treat people at work, our family, somebody you're dating. It's just those things on your team where it's just like, I blow right past them. Listen to me. Intentional listening is more than not talking. When I will... I actually start to hear a different perspective. I actually start to learn something that I didn't know, maybe about the situation that I'm all upset about. Standing before me is a person who is an image bearer of God. And if I'm not careful, that big old wad of irritation that's wound up in me will start to unravel. If I really listen, it might start to unravel a little bit, because now that guy is not a squeaky wheel that needs to be silenced. She is not a pain in my side. They are not that group that just needs to shut up. Can we just stop with those pronouncements in the world? Am I the only one that is grateful that God has forgiven him and given him enough room to find how to live? I mean, God's shown me a lot of grace. Anybody else feel that way? What if we poured that out to each other? Because if we get to a place where we'll actually start to listen, this is where the grace shows up. This is where our words change. This is where the pronouns, I listen to pronouns. I listen for them. Like in a conflict, in a difficult situation, I'm always listening for the pronouns. If it's all you and me, you, it's a dead giveaway. You did this and you needed that and you should fix this and you are so wrong. See how that works? I mean, we all do it. And by the way, when somebody says something to me that I did wrong, I gotta own it. I gotta deal with it. I gotta confess. But if all I'm doing is saying, well, you know what's happening is I'm going, well, you're wrong and I don't want you to be right because you've got to fail because I've got a vested interest in you failing, because if you do, then I get to say I told you so. But if we get to a place where I'm like, can we do this together? How did this happen to us? Where did I go wrong? Help me. I'll help you. Listen, it's not a word trick. We start talking about our church and our community and our city and our family and our team and our company. It's us. It's a different way to look at things. And some of you are going, oh, you are so naive. You are hopelessly romantic. You don't know how it works. You don't know how bad it is out there. Well, you probably know better than me. But I'm just going to put it this way. Do you know more about how life works than God? Because God says this is what we do. We got to rethink our words. One last one. We got to rethink our words online. The world has changed. Some of you have grown up in it, but most of you haven't. And the rules are different. It used to be if you wanted a soapbox, you had to show up at a PTA meeting or at a Boy Scout meeting or at a church business meeting, or maybe you were just the crank at the end of the bar ranting and raving. But now everybody's got an audience. Everybody's got a platform. And this new platform has contributed to an uptick in evil belching. Now, I am not some old fart that is saying everybody just unplug and boo social media, because there is a beauty to social media. There's more information. There's more connection. Old friends are finding each other. New friendships are forged. Just think about what we're doing right now. We are getting to speak to people around the country and around the world and around this city, figuring out how to proclaim the gospel and connect folks. Are you kidding me? It's beautiful. And there are times that we will take a step back, like this past Friday. Those of you following our streams, we all did a social media fast. Those are good to do, but I'm not saying everybody pull out. What I'm saying is let's not contribute to the stench. If our words matter, then the words that we type and launch from our computers and phones, they matter as well. Even that searing, scorching email. Like, take a deep breath. If James were alive today, I think he would add one more step to his dance. It's be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, and like be extra slow before you hit tweet, post, or send. Just take an extra breath and see what it's like. And some of you are like, well, I don't like dance class. I don't want dance class. All right, how about this? Let's just go to math for a second. One is greater than two. And you're like, well, that's why you're not a math teacher. One yappity-yap mouth will almost always overrule two ears that are trying to listen. Gang, if we have the chance and the power to bring our words into play and those words bring healing, then let's do it. Now, there's more to this than words, but our words bring healing. You know the work that we're doing in Zimbabwe, and we brought over some of the national leaders of just really of the entire country over here a couple of years ago, and we're doing some work and trying to build friendships and partnerships. And Dr. Shauna was one of the people that we brought over, And we took him into some areas of St. Louis where we're doing work here locally, like some of the work that we're doing with a network of pastors in the city. And so we introduce him to a guy that's just a hero of ours. Andre is at a church in a tough neighborhood. And so I've got a young African-American pastor and I've got an African pastor. And just, you know, would you guys just help each other? And I couldn't make that meeting. It was down in his place, but Randall was there. And I remember he, and I think it was Andy, coming back and saying, you should have heard what happened, because here it is. Here's an elder statesman from halfway around the world who sits down with Andre and says, I know what it's like to live in a neighborhood that is past its glory. I know what it's like to live in a country where there's a lot of racial strife, where black and white are both really struggling together. I know what it's like to have people say, you're crazy for thinking there's hope. And then Randall came back to me with tears in his eyes, I will never forget this, and said, I wish you could have heard the prayer that Dr. Shauna prayed for this man. Getting in close and whispering to him, you're not crazy, you're not alone, God is up to something. Gang, it's more than words, but our words have power. So now it's your turn. Gracious words. It's like a honeycomb to the soul, and it's healing to the bones. Have you ever been so sick that you ached in your bones? There is a word that gets down deep and it does good. The best words are these words from this book. It's the only antidote you'll have to some of the scars on your soul and some of the stench that's still hanging in the air from back when you were a kid. Somebody said something and it's still in the air. It is God whispering to you that will help you. But the redemption of God for the rest of us means that we get to be a part of this healing. So now it's your turn. You come alongside somebody and you champion them. What does it sound like? It might sound like, I was wrong. Could we try again? Will you forgive me? But it might sound like, I forgive you. We're going to ask the band to come back out now. I promised you that. We're going to do it. We've had, as best I can tell, biology, a little math, dance. The whole thing has been language arts, hasn't it? A little chemistry. I don't know what this thing was. Home ec, that was scary. I don't know what that was. But I think we should end with music class. And I don't know how this works for you. But I hope you'll just enjoy this. I have no idea what they're now about to play for us. I can't wait to hear it. But the truth is, when we leave here, let's not just go, well, that was interesting. Let's do something with this, because our words, backed by action, could change the world, okay? One more time, gang, listen to me. Words can leave doors and windows open to God's healing, or it can shut off any hope of reconciliation. That's the power of words, the power of life. And death. Now it's our turn.
Hey. So thank you guys for sending in your words. You guys helped us write a song. Yay! This song is called These Are the Words We Say.
Until yourself, even when you've messed up. Put the backpack on the shelf. We'll love you until the end, even when you can't love yourself, 'cause you're beautiful. Even when you don't feel that way, you're beautiful. Even when you don't feel that way, yeah, you're beautiful. Thank you guys for writing the song with us. Have a great weekend.